Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
This is Mark. Mark is the lead volunteer for the Faith and Grace Garden just on the east side of our property and the west side of the St. Tim's property. Mark's a member of St. Tim's. You can see that Mark is engaging in some destruction here just in this last week. He's showing off a new garden tractor that was purchased for the Faith and Grace Garden with a grant from the Episcopal Diocese of Iowa. Mark and Tim, who are the primary volunteers for the garden, asked me if I would write a letter in support of their grant application, which I did. I'm sure that's what put it over the top. Very proud of myself. Now, I'm not entirely sure which location Mark is engaging in this destruction here with this garden tractor, but I can tell you that this is more aggressive destruction than is necessary at my own personal home garden. I'm sure it's very appropriate for the Faith and Grace Garden, which is much bigger and fuller of vegetables than my garden at home. But sometimes it is useful to engage in this kind of destruction, right? Sometimes it is useful to tear something out before you put something new in. Sometimes it's useful to clear out some space before you plant something new. Bob's going to read us a scripture in just a second here that invites us to think a little bit about tearing something out in order that we might plant something new. And then I get the second part of the reading that has even more tearing out that will point its way toward something new. So I want to invite you to just reflect on that a little bit as Bob reads for us. And as I said, this tractor is really well suited for what it's doing here. It would be less well suited at my home garden. And one of the things that today's scripture reading also invites us to think about is, what is the work that we are suited for? What is the work that we individually, as a community, are suited for? So, some questions to listen with.
God of mercy, your covenant with us is never broken. Amid all the changing words of our time, speak your eternal word that does not change. As we hear, may we respond to your promise and your call with lives of faithfulness and blessing. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Scripture reading is from the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. This is the word of the Lord.
See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. That's God's charge to the prophet Jeremiah. So we've got a couple of things to pluck up here. First, Diane, did you have a chance to grab any blue prayer request cards from folks during the show and tell? So if you have a blue prayer request card, you hold that up, and Diane will come and pluck that up for you. See? I appoint her over the whole congregation to pluck up and gather. Oh, yeah, no, ones that are written on. If you've got a blank one, you hang on to it. Not naming names or anything. But it is also autumn, right? Here in the Northern Hemisphere where we find ourselves. And so it's not only at the big Faith and Grace Garden that there needs to be some of that destruction to pluck up and tear down and clear out space, right? We grow a lot of sunflowers at our house. I know those of you who grew up on farms, you hear of people intentionally growing sunflowers, and it just like makes you feel all icky, right? But we grow them in town, and we feed them to the goldfinches and whatnot. But this is the time of year all the sunflowers are done, right? And so now we've just got these giant sunflower stalks, and what do we have to do? We have to hack those all off and go compost them, right? Now, if you have ever cut down a mature, dead sunflower, you know what happens the first time you go shake that sunflower stalk. All the seeds just fall out right on your head. And it doesn't even matter how tall you are, the seeds are going to fall on your head because these are Iowa sunflowers. So this process of plucking up and pulling down is also a process of spreading seed. So we're planting next year's sunflowers even at the very same time as we take out the sunflowers that we have. If you grow bulbs, you also know that this is the time of year for putting bulbs in the ground, and that's a lot more work than planting sunflowers. But this is the time when it looks like endings of things. But if you do it right, those endings of things are the beginnings of next year's things, right? Today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. Maybe those are not separate actions all the time. Maybe the one is leading to the other. Now, not everything we have experienced recently feels like a good, healthy autumn. Not everything we have experienced recently feels like the prophet of the Lord is doing this. But many of us have felt the reality of that overthrowing, tearing down, disrupting, destroying actions in the world. Not only these past couple of years, but longer than that. Sometimes I wonder if I should keep bringing that up, because we all know that the world is in flux, and don't we come to worship in order to remember what's permanent and what endures through all of this change? Only I think that's why we need to acknowledge all this change and disruption and flux in our lives, because we need that stability and because it matters where we look for what is permanent and stable. We've seen, haven't we, this impulse to find stability wherever we can come up with it, and that's understandable after these past several years. But it raises questions for us. It raises questions: do we seek stability by returning to buildings and practices that we remember from before? Do we seek stability by gravitating toward whoever has the most inflexible and most strongly stated ideas we can find? Where do we seek that stability in the midst of change? Now, honest people can disagree about what of these recent changes are good or bad, and we should have those conversations humbly. But I think we can all agree things are changing and fast. So how do we live? How do we live while nearly everything seems to be uprooted, but before the future has fully grown? Christianity calls us to be faithful in the midst of change, not to avoid change. Christianity reminds us that God is most faithful in the midst of death and resurrection. So this month we're going to be hearing from the prophet Jeremiah, the prophet who tells us about God's faithfulness into and through destruction and disruption, into and through the end of everything we thought was there. And so we just heard his calling to build and to plant. But Jeremiah is called not only to build and to plant, but also to pluck up and pull down, destroy and overthrow. He's called to speak a message from God that is not so comfortable. Jeremiah lived during the time of the destruction of the kingdom of Judah, and it was not always easy to hear hope in Jeremiah's message. So, since I was here 2 weeks ago, it's been about 200 years. Solomon, the great king, he dedicated his temple. That was a wonderful time. We enjoyed that a lot. But it turns out kings are terrible and monarchies fall apart. That's what happened since 2 weeks ago. There were two kingdoms that succeeded King Solomon. The northern kingdom was remembered for worshiping God wrong, and they were conquered after about 100 years. And the southern kingdom was like, yeah, I told you so. That lasted another century. And now the Babylonian army is on the march against Jerusalem, where Solomon's temple is still standing. Ooh, but that brings us to this second scripture reading. You'll notice as we read the book of Jeremiah that we skip around a little bit because it's not written down in chronological order. It is written down according to a different logic that I don't have time to explain right now. So we're going to read from chapter 7, early in Jeremiah's ministry. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you people of Judah, you that enter these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings and let me dwell with you in this place. Do not trust in these deceptive words. This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. For if you truly amend your ways and your doings, if you truly act justly one with another, if you do not oppress the alien, the orphan, and the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not go after other gods to your own hurt, then I will dwell with you in this place, in the land that I gave of old to your ancestors forever and ever. Here you are, trusting in deceptive words to no avail. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, make offerings to Baal, and go after other gods that you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are safe, only to go on doing all these abominations? Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your sight? You know, I too am watching, says the Lord. This too is the word of the Lord. Talk about failing to read the room. Jeremiah goes to the temple where everyone is just hanging on to what they're pretty sure is constant and steady as the world seems to be falling apart around them. And Jeremiah has this to say. That's the prophet's job. The prophet's job is to make sense of the world as it is in light of who God is and what God calls us to be and to do. And so what Jeremiah says is theological. He's talking about God in the midst of this temple, talking about the way that our worship does not exempt us from the consequences of our injustice. God is gracious, but injustice still destabilizes the nations of the earth. That word "but" doesn't belong in that sentence. There's actually no tension between those two points. Injustice destabilizes the nations of the earth because God is gracious, because God does not allow injustice to continue forever. And so what Jeremiah stands up and pronounces in the temple is divine judgment, which is good news for the innocent, for the alien, the orphan, and the widow. God will overturn kingdoms and religions on their behalf. And not only in Jeremiah's time, we know that Jesus will also hold the religious institutions of his day to account for the same justice. Jesus actually quotes Jeremiah when he disrupts the temple in his own day. And the Holy Spirit continues to hold religious institutions to account for our practices of justice or injustice today. The Holy Spirit continues to hold us to account through the voices of faithful church members and through the voices of critics outside the church. I wonder if this disruption of recent years, however recently we remember this, is an invitation for us to listen for the truth about the world as it used to be, as it is, as it may become. What has needed to be torn down so that justice might grow? Or to ask it another way, since this is a temple sermon, what needs to be torn down, not in the world around us, but right here in this place, right here in this religious life? How do our religious practices point us toward or away from justice? How do our religious practices cover up injustice in our world and our lives? Talking specifically about worship, but maybe it also applies to coffee and Bible study and golf. Does our worship turn our attention to the excluded, the oppressed, the lonely, the impoverished? Does our study lead us to serve them? Does our prayer connect us with the needs of the world, or do we use our prayer to escape confusion and challenge in other people's lives? Do we confess our sin and tell the truth about the world as it is, but also tell the truth about our part in keeping the world as it is? There's freedom in that honesty. These are complicated questions to ask about worship, because, of course, different ways of speaking and singing and praying will connect differently for different members of the congregation. What falls flat for one of us might blow someone else's mind. But Jesus follows Jeremiah in asking those questions, not only about the temple, but about our whole lives. What is it that leads us toward God, and what needs to get out of the way so that the kingdom can come to life in us? And that's a word of God's faithfulness. That's a word that God has not given up on us and will not give up on us. God will never abandon us to the lies that we tell ourselves or the lies that we hear from others. God will never abandon people in need to the worst forces of injustice in ourselves and in the world. But Jeremiah will speak a message of uprooting and of planting. He will speak a message of endings as well as beginnings, a message of destruction and of the seeds of God's kingdom. God planted those seeds early in Jeremiah's life, as Bob read for us, before his birth, as that call narrative puts it. God shaped Jeremiah's personality and his experiences so that he could become that prophet. God plants those seeds in us as well. God is planting those seeds of God's kingdom in us when our hearts break for the world as it comes apart around us. God plants those seeds in us when we long to gather people together again in peace and safety. God plants those seeds in us when we give ourselves to serve the needs of our neighbors here in town and far away, and when we grow in relationship with each other and with God through that service. The Holy Spirit is ready to nurture those seeds within each of us and within all of us together, to tear down what we need to let go of and to build up what brings in the kingdom of God. So may it be. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now, a moment for mission.
pleased to have the opportunity to visit with you a little bit regarding the capital fund. You can put the first slide up if you want. The capital fund, the history of Covenant, as long as I know, and well before that, was that there was this general fund and a capital fund to be established and maintained separately. And pledges have typically been made to both of those funds. And the capital fund, as the name suggests, is basically a fund to take care of the needs of the church, to maintain, to improve our facility. I know not all churches operate that way, and I'm familiar with some where when it came to some of the things that we've been confronted with, it called for a special offering from the church to fund that. We haven't had that. I show you there the last 5 years. Go back to the first one, please. You can see our offerings for that five years have totaled $182,178.79, and our expenditures are $175,804. We've done pretty good. We had $100,000 at the beginning of 2017. We will probably have $106,000 roughly at the end of 2021. 2021 is not finished yet, so I have to tell you that those 2021 numbers are projections of where we're going to be at the end of the year. How did we spend the money? Well, exterior and interior painting. A few years ago, we painted the whole exterior of the church. During the pandemic, we painted the sanctuary. That was probably the only major project that we accomplished during the sanctuary. We've had exterior siding repairs that we had to address, exterior lighting to expand our lighting at night, had to all the interior signage in the church has been done in that period of time. Rewiring the garage, many windows. I think we've replaced all windows now from their original status for energy efficiency, and some of them in needing repair. The west side, the courtyard, when we were working on the courtyard a few years ago, we identified drainage problems on the west side. So we addressed those at the same time. And we're currently working on expanding, upgrading, whatever else you want to say about our audiovisual system to get us into the into where we need to be for this new normal, which is partly here and partly online. And I think that's going to be the rest of our lives. I'd also mention that in the courtyard and the drainage project that went with that, there was only over $29,000 of special contributions that were made to offset some of that cost. And the other thing you should keep in mind is our partner Head Start has invested immensely in our facility. All the remodeling in the rooms that they use, the two washrooms outside of the Head Start classrooms, those were all remodeled on their expense. All the asbestos removal in the flooring in that area was done at their expense. I don't know how much they've spent. They don't tell me that, but it's a fair amount. So I hope that's helpful in understanding where your money goes. I'll take the next slide now. So the capital fund doesn't operate like the general fund. The general fund, you can pretty much budget what expenses are going to be within limits. Some exactly, and some depends on the amount of snow, depends on cost of electricity, et cetera. The capital fund, we plan some items, and other items come up and have to be tended to. So it's not as predictable, and that's where you go back to the prior chart and you see the variation in when the expenses occur. It doesn't operate the same as the general fund is. So it doesn't lend itself to normal budgeting. Okay, next one. How do we spend the capital fund? Well, we have a pretty rigid process of doing that. Items are brought to the property committee for consideration. Committee discusses and makes recommendations, and then they go to session. If the recommendation is to proceed, they go to session for final authorization to fund the project. We don't spend any capital funds unless it's been approved by the session. Next. I thank you for your continued generous support to the capital fund. Your support has enabled us to maintain and improve the facility, to remain debt-free. The last time we had debt was when we did the chancel addition, which I think is 20 years ago, and we paid that off in a relatively short period of time, and we've been debt-free since. And we have $100,000, as you saw, to maintain a healthy cash balance to meet anticipated and unanticipated needs. So I encourage you to continue your generous support for the capital fund as well as the general fund. I also want to get in the plug that stewardship is not just the financial aspect. There are numerous volunteer opportunities available, and I think you'll find that if you're looking for a good investment, the time you invest in Covenant will pay you healthy rewards. I think you talk to the people who are most involved in one activity, the music or whatever it might be, they get back much more than they put in. So thank you for your generous support, and I hope you keep it up.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.